18. Descent.
With the proper practice, a lone conjurer controlling a single Noctilius can inflict considerable damage on an enemy fleet. The fictional account of the sortie of Hectiles is not that much of an exaggeration, though I have yet to meet a conjurer capable of maintaining control over 5 Noctili.
From Colvinar Bryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 57. Clutching his left shoulder, Morjadian warily eyed the 2 strange wolves circling him. Blood seeped through his fingers as he uttered an incantation to muster an inverted Barjan. The forming magic, however, wasn't for the strange wolves. Amid his attempts to subdue the last members of the pack, one wolf had breached Morjadian's Barjan and pierced his shoulder. The other wolves were bound by Dougal's transmuted shackles. Several had been able to break free of Morjadian's inverted Barjans, but luckily Dougal was able to seize them. The last of the incantation left Morjadian's lips, and a band of inverted Barjan formed around his shoulder, wrapping around his arm. Inverted Barjans were good for more than trapping a foe. They made excellent bandages.
"There," Morjadian said with a grunt, settling into a wide stance.
One of the wolves lunged, and Morjadian threw himself sideways. As he rolled on the ground, the other wolf snarled and leapt into the air. Before Morjadian could regain his feet, the strange wolf pinned him to the ground and clawed at his Barjan bubble. Morjadian swiftly uttered another incantation. He would need to replace his Barjan, especially if the other wolf decided to pounce. The creature's claws caused the Barjan to flicker, and Morjadian felt the beast weakening the barrier. As Morjadian struggled to renew his Barjan, he heard Dougal recite an incantation from above. The transmuter was standing atop a tall pillar of stone he had crafted from the cavern floor.
"Excellent," Morjadian thought.
Dougal had put himself in a place where the wolves couldn't reach him. Brilliant blue light shone within Morjadian's flickering Barjan. Heart pounding, he hurried through his incantation. A hole formed in the barrier, and the strange wolf shoved one of its claws straight for Morjadian's face. Uttering the last of his incantation, Morjadian threw his head back as the claws scraped along his chin, up his cheek, and across his right eye. His vision shifted as a wave of Barjan erupted, immediately repulsing the strange wolf. Stinging pain washed across his face, and Morjadian fought the urge to scream. But by the powers, it hurt! A streak of brown light shot through the air like lightning, grappling with the wolf that had been repulsed. Liquefied stone wrapped around the vicious creature, instantly forming shackles. The transmuted steel left the strange wolf dangling a finial off the ground.
"Morji, are you okay?"
Dougal shouted. Morjadian pushed himself up, but didn't answer. They still had one more wolf to contend with.
"No,"
he replied through clenched teeth, then began uttering another incantation. He would pin this beast, and hopefully Dougal would have the shackles ready before the strange wolf could break free. Both of them uttered their incantations as the last wolf began circling Morjadian. Though focused on mustering his magic, he also sidestepped in time with the beast. He and the wolf danced the dance of a duel. The strange creature kept its bizarre eyes on Morjadian, its disturbing white pupils constricting. As the two of them circled, a flash of gray light zipped into the cavern. Morjadian started, turning to the light. It was one of Ildan's illusions.
"Oh, no!"
the illusion cried. Morjadian turned back to his foe just as the strange wolf lunged. The beast had undoubtedly taken advantage of the distraction. Morjadian threw himself out of the way as Ildan's illusion shouted something else. Was he talking to Amandal? The wolf soared past Morjadian, growling as it landed. Still uttering his incantation, Morjadian staggered to his feet. His face and shoulder ached. Creeping forward, the wolf lowered its head. Ildan's illusion, however, struck the cavern floor and stood between Morjadian and the wolf.
"Over here!"
Ildan shouted, his illusion waving its arms. The strange wolf glanced to the illusion, sniffing loudly. The beast cocked its head and then stepped through the illusion and toward Morjadian.
"Wait!"
Ildan shouted, his illusion spinning about.
"Don't you want to eat me?"
The wolf ignored him, eyes fixed on Morjadayan.
A worthy attempt, Morjadayan thought as he finished his incantation.
He stretched out his hands as the wolf charged and the Barjan magic struck the beast before it could get within a leap of him.
That should hold you,
Morjadayan said with a grunt, turning from the pinned beast. Dougal was almost finished with his incantation.
Are you all right?
Ildin asked, his illusion hovering beside Morjadayan.
Do I look all right?
Morjadayan retorted, turning to show Ildin his face. The illusion flinched.
That bad, huh?
It adds character,
Ildin muttered. Liquefied stone shot from the ceiling like lightning and shackled the last wolf. The transmuted shackles, however, kept the beast on the ground.
Those Cisthern are really vicious, Ildin said.
Cisthern?
Oh yeah, you weren't with us.
Ildin pointed to one of the wolves.
That there is a Cisthern. We found a bunch of dead ones near the Yeltis.
Ildin!
Dougal called from his pillar.
Does Amandal want these beasts?
Ildin laughed.
Oh, I'm sure he does. When does Amandal not want some exotic creature?
It wasn't long before Ildin, Felinia, and Amandal dashed into the cavern. Dougal had dismissed his pillar and was standing beside Morjadayan.
12!
Amandal exclaimed, his eyes wide. He looked like a boy who had just discovered his family lived next to a candy shop. Amandal cackled, rubbing his hands together in anticipation.
Who needs money when one can have all of these creatures?
Me, Dougal said, raising a finger. I'll take your payment if you don't mind.
Amandal laughed and began uttering an incantation to open one of those portals of his.
He's not getting any payment,
Felinia said, picking her way around the shackled wolves, or rather, Cisthern's. She made her way to Morjadayan and studied him.
You don't look so good.
I'll be fine, Morjadayan said. Hopefully someone can fix my eye.
Felinia sighed, then studied the pinned creatures. Most were growling and snarling, though there were some who had accepted their captivity.
Ildin, let's enthrall these while Amandal opens his portal.
Golden light shone around Amandal, then shot to a space in front of him, swirling into an oval shape. Morjadayan enjoyed watching conjuration magic form. There was something entrancing about portals. Ildin and Felinia uttered their own incantations, and the entire pack was soon enthralled. Morjadayan dismissed his inverted Barjans, while Dougal released his shackles. One by one, each of the strange wolves lumbered toward the portal and disappeared into the conjurer's void. The Arpranists hadn't succeeded in expunging the poison plaguing Weldar, Faziak, and Umardin. The thought of losing more men sickened Calamir. With this most recent encounter, they had lost 15 good men and women to the perilous waste, and according to the survivors of Squads 3 and 4, another 11 had been lost.
26 more dead,
Calamir shook his head, turning from the squad leaders. They had been discussing their next course of action. Many felt that they should find another way to Tardalim, one that was safer. But Mr. Saterin had said there was no other way into the cavern that contained the gatehouse.
I can't lose any more,
Calamir glanced to Weldar. Though the hole in Weldar's torso had been mended, the poor man was still foaming at the mouth. The three Arpranists were mustering more of their magic, but their efforts seemed fruitless.
Perhaps we should have descended into the gorge.
You're only prolonging their suffering, said Mistress Rudal.
Calamir glanced over his shoulder but didn't respond. The Mandalorian women stopped beside him. Lieutenant Virain eyed the dying men with a cold gaze. Had she engaged the Yeltis at all? Calamir didn't recall seeing her during the battle.
Just let them die, Mistress Rudal sighed. The Arpranists will have to continuously tend to them for days, maybe even weeks.
I'm not going to lose them,
Calamir said, his tone firm. Weldar and Umardin had fought alongside Calamir for many years, and Faziak. Well, Calamir had known Faziak since the man enlisted in the Sarothian Navy.
A grunt left Mistress Rudal's lips.
You won't be doing them any favors. Letting them live would be cruel.
Cruel? Kalamir fought the urge to snap at the woman. Allowing them to succumb to the poison would be cruel. No, he would not do that.
Surely we can heal them. Perhaps something in Tardalum can cure them.
I doubt that, she said. I only know of one ancient Tevisrol that might allow them to survive. But I seriously doubt those rings are kept in Tardalim.
Kalamir raised an eyebrow at the Mandalorian scholar.
Surely she's not telling me all she knows.
So stubborn, Mistress Rudal sighed. I suppose there is a way to save them, or at least stop them from dying.
Kalamir rounded on the woman.
Well, spit it out.
Her lips twisted in a wry smile. I doubt you'll like it.
Tell me.
Very well, she said, haughtily averting her gaze. You could always place them in the Vizierm expanse. Time does not touch that plane. They will remain frozen in that agonized state until they are removed.
That conjurer's void?
Kalamir set his jaw.
Too arrogant to ask him?
Mistress Rudal snickered, undoubtedly referring to Mr. Aramian.
Are the lives of your men worth swallowing your pride?
Kalamir glared at the woman.
What audacity!
No, there were other conjurers he could call upon. He would not involve Mr. Aramian in such a crucial task. Turning from the Mandalorians, Kalamir faced the squad leaders.
Selikas, fetch your conjurer. I would have a word with him.
Selikas, a black-haired, burly man and the leader of Squad 14, nodded and stepped away. Are you sure that's wise? Dardel asked, squinting his right eye in a mannerism that indicated he was considering a matter of great importance.
Yes,
Kalamir said.
We'll place Weldar and the others inside the conjurer's void until we can cure them. Now let's reorganize the squads. At least one of you is going to lose their command. If any of you are willing to volunteer, please do so now.
After adding those 12 cistern to his menagerie, Amandal and the others returned to the Yeltis den. Kalamir was loudly explaining his plan for dealing with the creature beneath the pit. It was a convoluted mess involving the use of conjurations and corpses as bait while the Barjanists created a tunnel for the expedition to run through. The plan was remarkably stupid.
I should just go on ahead, Amandal thought, stopping short of leaving the tunnel. I can take care of that thing all by myself.
Ildin,
Amandal called in a hushed whisper.
Ildin!
The illusionist spun.
What?
Amandal gestured for his friend to come near while they kept an eye on the expedition. No one seemed to notice their return.
I've got a better idea than that old fool, Amandal whispered, but I need your help.
My help? Ildin asked, swallowing hard. He looked rather sheepish.
What do you want me to do?
Two things, Amandal said, taking a step back.
I need you to make an illusion of me and keep it with the party, and...
What? Ildin's eyes went wide. Amandal waved his hand in a placating manner.
Just listen.
I need an illusion of myself, and I need you to make another of you to guide me to that pit. Ildin groaned and shook his head.
I have a bad feeling about this.
There isn't much time,
Amandal whispered.
Come on. Let's go back into the tunnel and make a copy of me. I'll sneak by invisibly. Once I'm in the other tunnel, you can send your illusion to guide me.
Sighing, Ildin glanced over his shoulder.
If you're worried about losing your commission, I'll pay you when we get home.
Ildin turned back to Amandal, giving him a frank smile.
Coin is not what I'm worried about. I saw that monster make short work of two squads. It'll kill more than that if I don't take care of it.
Ildin studied Amandal for a moment, then hurried back into the tunnel.
Perfect, Amandal thought, grinning.
He followed Ilden around a bend where the illusionist began whispering an incantation. White light flowed from Ilden's hands and wrapped around Amandal. A peculiar pricking sensation surged across his skin, then abruptly ceased. The illusory magic shot from him and coalesced beside Ilden in a white silhouette resembling a man. Footsteps sounded into the tunnel, coming from the Yeltis den. "Uh-oh," Amandal swiftly whispered an incantation to muster a veil of invisibility. Whitish-blue particles flowed from Amandal's hands and up his arms. Meanwhile, Ilden's magic vaguely resembled Amandal's silhouette, becoming more refined by the second. Amandal finished his spell first and vanished. He held his breath as the footsteps grew louder.
"Hurry, Ilden!"
The white light of the illusory magic faded, and a perfect copy of Amandal stood beside Ilden. At that moment, Faelinia turned the corner, followed by Dougal.
"And what are you two doing back here?"
Ilden shook his head, looking baffled. The illusion of Amandal did something similar and shrugged. Faelinia narrowed her eyes at both illusion and illusionist.
"Well, whatever you're doing, we'll have to wait. Everyone's ready."
Shaking her head, Faelinia spun and marched back to the icy cavern. Dougal, however, lingered in the tunnel. The transmuter was just staring at Ilden with an eyebrow raised. Amid the awkward silence, Amandal crept to Ilden, then leaned close to his friend's ear.
"That was close. Now which tunnel do I take?"
"First to the left," Ilden whispered.
"What was that?"
Dougal asked. Ilden's jaw tensed.
"Nothing,"
he said, and stepped away from Amandal. The illusion followed, and soon Amandal was alone in the tunnel. He focused on his lone quintashal and commanded it to grab his pack. The soldiers had ferried all the supplies into the center of the Yeltis den.
Best one of them carry it, he thought. If his pack were to suddenly disappear, that would definitely arouse suspicion. Now to get going.
Creeping past the expedition was easier than raiding the kitchen of the Aramian estate house. Amandal had done his fair share of sneaking about over the years, especially during the parties his family hosted. Many a time he had managed to steal a slice of cake or two without being seen. The tunnel beyond the Yeltis den was just as dimly lit as the one leading to it. As with the other tunnels, this one was 3 stories tall and nearly a perfect semicircle. Amandal wished he had gotten more information from Ilden before leaving. Luckily, there were not any branching pathways. Hopefully, one of Ilden's illusions would be coming to show him the way. After several twists and turns, the tunnel descended a shallow slope. Amandal focused through his quintashal, still with the expedition. But none of the squads had begun moving.
"Well, I don't need to hide anymore," he thought, dismissing his invisibility and quickening his pace to a jog.
The tunnel's shallow slope steepened, forcing Amandal to run so as not to trip over himself.
"Great," Amandal said grumpily between breaths.
Amandal bolted around a bend, then slipped on a patch of ice. He landed on his side and slid to the next bend, but caught himself on an outcropping.
"Ilden didn't say anything about ice."
Well, this was an ice cavern, after all. Pushing himself up, Amandal continued through the tunnel with caution. The expedition still hadn't begun moving. He rounded several more bends, and then the tunnel opened onto a ledge within a massive cavern. Wary, Amandal crept to the edge and peered over. The icy stalagmites on the cavern floor looked about 8 or 9 stories away.
"I'd hate to slip and land on those."
Setting his jaw, Amandal turned from the edge. A roar, not unlike those he had heard before, echoed into the cavern, coming from another tunnel across the icy chamber, 2 stories above the cavern floor. A rocky ramp along the cavern's wall connected that second tunnel and the ledge where Amandal was standing.
"I assume it's safe to say that's the correct path?"
At that moment, the expedition began moving.
"Well, no time to waste."
Amandel was partway down the rocky ramp when Ildin's illusion zipped into the cavern. The illusion settled beside Amandel, hovering in the air.
"Is it safe for me to run?"
Amandel asked. Ildin's illusion shrugged, then flew into the tunnel ahead. It returned a moment later, nodding. At first, this second tunnel was dimly lit like the others, but it soon brightened. Patches of crystal shone from the ceiling and then the walls.
"How far away is that thing?" Amandel asked, glancing to the illusion.
Since Ildin was surrounded by the others, he didn't answer verbally. The illusion spelled out the words in the air. "You'll have to pass through two more caverns, then navigate a maze of tunnels." As Amandel descended into the caves, the ice lessened, and crystal became more abundant. The second cavern he traversed was almost as bright as the tunnels near the surface. Each of the tunnels after that was made mostly of crystal. Ildin kept his illusion ahead of Amandel and pointed to the various branches he needed to take. All the while, more roars echoed throughout the winding labyrinth. After rounding who knew how many bends, Ildin's illusion gestured for Amandel to halt. "This is the last tunnel. Let me scout ahead."
"Your spelling is growing tiresome," Amandel complained. "There's got to be a better way for us to communicate. Maybe some sort of sign language?"
There were a few different types of sign languages used on the mainland, but neither Amandel nor Ildin knew them. Ildin's illusion shook its head and zipped away.
"Now where are the others?"
Amandel closed his eyes and focused on sensing his quintessentials. They and the expedition had just entered that first cavern.
"I'll be finished long before they get here."
The illusion returned, not a moment later, spelling words in the air. "After two bends, there is a mostly straight section, and then the tunnel's mouth. The monster is still reaching its limbs into the pit." Amandel nodded impatiently.
"How soon did that thing react to the other squads?"
"When they got close to those limbs." "And there aren't any of those limbs near this tunnel's mouth?" The illusion shook its head.
"Good. Then that's where I'll make my stand."
"Be care—" Amandel hurried past the illusion before Ildin finished spelling. They had to come up with a more effective means of communication in situations like this. It didn't take long for Amandel to reach the tunnel's straight section. Another roar echoed into the tunnel, followed by faint but repeated thuds, undoubtedly the limbs of that thing flailing about. Amandel immediately began uttering the incantation to open a portal to the Vizierm expanse. If this thing was as powerful as Ildin claimed, there was no point fighting it head-on. Golden particles shot from Amandel's hands, weaving together at the tunnel's mouth. Amandel was halfway to the opening when the conjuration magic coalesced, forming a circular portal to the Vizierm expanse.
"You did it,"
Ildin whispered through his illusion. Amandel winked at his friend and gave him a wry smile.
"Of course. I'm Amandel Aramian."
The illusion looked as if he were going to burst with mirth. Amandel and the illusion reached the tunnel's mouth, but nothing happened. Due to the size of the portal, Amandel couldn't see into the cavern.
"Well, I thought this thing was going to attack."
"Maybe the magic is preventing the monster from sensing you,"
Ildin whispered. Amandel furrowed his brow. Perhaps he had to draw the thing's attention some other way. He cupped his hands to his mouth and shouted incoherent noises. The thudding in the cavern ceased, but was soon replaced by a deafening roar.
"Hopefully that worked," Amandel said, glancing to the illusion.
Another deafening roar echoed into the tunnel. Then something hit the portal. In an instant, Amandel sensed a crushed, cylindrical mass, longer than any creature he had ever beheld, floating within the Vizierm expanse. It dwarfed each of the other denizens of his menagerie, and it wasn't made of crystal.
Perhaps that was some sort of camouflage?
Red tentacles, half a grand finial long, protruded from a crushed orange mass, as well as roots? But this thing couldn't be a plant. Whatever it was, the thing had clearly not survived the teleportation into the Vizier expanse.
Well?
Ilden asked, no longer whispering. It's dead, Amandal said. Whatever it was. He waved his hands in a wide arc and dismissed the portal. The golden light collapsed upon itself, revealing an empty crystal chamber. Ilden's illusion flew ahead of Amandal, spinning around.
You did do it!
The illusionist exclaimed.
Kalamir!
Amandal chuckled as Ilden reported the triumph. He paid little attention to his friend and entered the crystal chamber. It was dome-shaped, as Ilden had described, but there were two tunnels instead of one. Perhaps that second one was where that thing was lodged. As Amandal hurried down the ramp, Ilden's illusion zipped in front of him.
Are you going to wait for us?
No, Amandal said, then pointed to the tunnel that was much smoother than the others. Is that the right way? Ilden's illusion nodded, then fell in line beside Amandal. They entered a strangely smooth tunnel, which looked as if it were part of some man-made, or rather Ishari-made structure. It was about the size of the others within the caves, but it was perfectly straight. It was made of crystal and stretched on for at least a grand finial, its end obscured by a kind of mist. This definitely isn't natural, Amandal said. Someone made this. The illusion nodded. They were partway down the tunnel when a wave of moist warmth wafted past Amandal's face. Steam?